This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Judy Milne, Alison Milden,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, Judy, were you worried about Longburn and industry?
Well, they put out this study of six areas around
surrounding
Longburn.
When was
Longburn.
That?
That was in 2002 as well, around about then.
Yes,
anyway.
Okay.
Some of the farmers down there were very upset about that because there's some very high-producing farms there. Yeah.
So they felt there should be some. They needed industrial, large flat site industrial land for development.
Yes, I wrote a letter to Mark Bell Booth way back in 2002, actually, because he was saying, "Why doesn't industry come to Palmerston North? We've got lots of flat land for development." I wrote him a letter. I did not receive a reply. I wrote him a letter and said, "You are a conservationist," which he was. Mm-hmm. "Why are you wanting to put industry on all our lovely flat land?" Mm-hmm. He didn't answer.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah.
If I could also mention here, there's that constant tension, even if Kelvin Grove, the less productive land, is developed, and you could say that's a good thing. They have crept into an area, encroached or moved into an area that's surrounded by better land. And then you get this issue of tension between urban lifestyle, rural lifestyle, the very thing that's happening up Pukekohe and around there, where the market gardeners are watching.
So what, you mean it's Kelvin Grove is surrounded by high-quality
The river flat area between Kelvin Grove and the river.
And oh, you're so, Tomato,
and
right.
So you've got infrastructure for roading, schools, etc., 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 and people who are living in a city urban environment who don't want the smells, the traffic, the heavy traffic, the tractors, etc., getting in their way.
It's called reverse sensitivity.
Reverse sensitivity.
Reverse sensitivity, yes.
Yeah, which means?
It means that just what Ali has said. I heard a story many years ago of a contractor who was harvesting maize. Mm. Now, when you are harvesting, you keep going until the moisture levels stop you. So you'll be going into the night.
Yeah.
I've forgotten. He said he had 6 complaints because people couldn't sleep. And these are the lifestyle blockies who want to live in the country but are not prepared to put up with the problems of the country.
Yeah, this is the point, trying to emphasise to those people that are actually in an industrial area because the countryside's an industrial area.
The rural area is an industrial area,
yes,
because you've got top-dressing planes, you've got trucks, you've got harvesters going, tractors going, yes.
That's why people live on lifestyle blocks for a short time with the dream of it and change their mind.
The smell of silage stacks and you've got,
yeah.
And that's all part of rural life. And farmers understand that. But town people living in the country don't necessarily.
And if they live in town, they've got the noise of the speedway.
Yes. And then it was in 2005 again. Oh, in 2005, the Gillespie Line area was still in the Manawatu district. It wasn't within the city boundary. The city wanted a boundary readjustment to include that area into the city so it could develop it for urban.
It was to develop the land. It wasn't a matter of the ring road.
No, it was to put urban for housing.
Okay.
Yep. For housing. There was, over a period of time, there was a hearing. It's part of that was, a large part of that was floodable land. In the end, it was rejected.
Was it floodable but for putting in stop banks and things? Because there is, there are flood defences for Palmerston North itself.
It's in a floodway.
Okay. But so there's nothing much you could do.
It's in a floodway, yes, in a designed floodway. It goes through it.
Yes.
It's land that is in the floodway.
Mm.
Yes. Not all of it, of course. A lot of it
It's suggesting that the people proposing it had very little concept of what flooding might arise. Is that?
You can always find an expert who says they have a solution to the problem.
Yeah.
And then in 2007, there was the Fliegers Line development.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was withdrawn in the end. They wanted to put a mega mall. You know, when you come come out over Rangitiki Line on the left, all that land down there between
Bennett Street, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Fliegers Line,
Rangitiki down there, and it goes down to Gillespie's line.
Okay.
Yep. A mega mall was planned to be put there.
Hmm.
Well, there was a lot of submissions, a lot of very, very unhappy people, and that was withdrawn also.
Hmm.
Another group tried to develop that later. They had a plan to put an old people's home there. It's in the floodway.
Hmm.
Hmm. That didn't ever come to anything. But now they're trying again. There's just now submissions have just closed for another development. They're going to do earthworks to build part of that land up so that it won't flood.
Yeah.
And they're going to put housing on it. And then they're going to have a wet recreation area and the rest of it will be...
Oh, you mean a late Palmerston North?
They're going to put Whiskey Creek back where it used to be.
The other thing, though, that you have to remember with this, we can protect this piece of land with a whole lot of systems and earthworks and stuff. The water does have to end up somewhere. So what they're actually doing is saying we're protecting this piece by pushing it somewhere else. Right?
The Mungoni Stream flows through Palmerston North.
Yeah.
But up near Milson Line, up towards Milson Line, there is a spillway. If there is danger that the Mungoni Stream will be overflowing into the city, the spillway trips and the water goes straight down to the Tanui Basin. The Fliegers Line development has got a lot of that land in that area that the water rushes through. The Gillespie's Line development has also got some of that water goes through part of that too.
Okay.
And it goes at quite a speed.
Okay.
And then the next big thing was the One Plan. The Regional Council's plan. Now, what they decided was that there were five areas that were of great importance. I mean, they're there to protect the resources. And a few of us noticed that soils were not to be protected anymore. It came out of it. It used to be in their regional plan.
Okay.
And when their new plan came out, nothing.
They just...
Nothing. The only thing about soil was about farming practices and fertilizer and that sort of thing. Nothing about protecting our class 1 and 2 soils from inappropriate development. Now, there were probably only about a handful of us noticed.
And these were
that
sort of people from farming backgrounds?
Yes, they were. Yeah. Four of them were anyway.
Were there any support from Massey University staff?
I went to Massey.
Yeah.
And had an expert, was happy to give mine a little bit more clout, my submission a bit more clout. Okay. Another farmer had an expert from Massey also.
Yeah.
Just to give that technical expertise that people might believe.
Yes.
Because if we say something, it's got more clout if an expert says it.
Credibility, yeah.
Yes. Yep. There were there were only four or five of us spoke to our submissions.
Mm.
And we won.
Hmm.
And it is now included in the one plan, still largely ignored by the territorial authorities, but it's in there anyway.
Yeah. So what is the one plan? Is it a long-term plan, short-term?
It's the regional, the Manawatu Whanganui Regional Council's plan.
No, but there's sort of a hierarchy. You can have a hierarchy. Is it looking forward 10 years ahead, 20 years ahead?
It's not their 10-year plan. It is their... Well,
the broad base under which the others are nested?
Yeah, it's the
Long-term vision for the area.
Like the city district plan, the Manawatu district plan.
Okay.
That's the hierarchy is from central, I suppose, RMA, would you say, is the supposed overriding thing.
Yes,
regional plans, district plans, down. So district plans, which is Palmerston North City, Manawatu, whatever,
Rupaihu,
are meant
Rangitiki.
To reflect regional plan.
No, but it's just there's by area, but also in time scale as well, you see. So how far forward it's looking.
I've forgotten how often they have to redo their plans.
A 10-year plan that comes up for review... Yeah. Takes nearly another 10 years to go through the review.
Well, yeah.
They're very,
yeah.
very, yeah. very behind, yes.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Hmm. And then finally, I supported one.
Yes.
And it was the Palmerston North City Council Rural Residential Land Use Strategy.
Yeah.
And I spoke in support of it because at last they were... thinking of the future.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're necessarily taking much notice of their own.
So that was a strategy within an overall set of strategies.
It
brought about
rural residential land use.
There's a document there, June 2012, rural residential land use strategy shaping our city.
Yes.
Yep.
And what they were doing with this was they were designating land for production and land that was suitable for subdivision, for rural lifestyle, which was on your lesser class land. So I spoke in support.
So the lifestyle blocks are on lesser class?
Well,
you got Turitea Valley, Moonshine Valley.
A lot of them were already built by that point.
It happened by 2012.
Yeah, they were already done.
Yeah.
But what this did do was bring in a minimum subdivision size, and that the intention of that was to stop further fragmentation of larger blocks of productive land. However, I don't think it's going to do what we had hoped.
So
it might
that became effective in 2015.
Oh, the 2012 document.
Oh, it takes years when they put it out from when it all happens.
Because you get a proposed plan, you submit to that, then they put in a revised proposed plan, you submit to that, you go through all these.
I did my oral submission on November 2015, so it would have been 2016 before it happened. Yeah.
And now you've got a proposal on the internet quietly being developed through to take an 800 hectare, is it, block of land to expand Palmerston North towards Longburn.
All the way to Longburn. Class 2 lands with a bit of, and class 1, yep, class 1 and 2.
They've already bought up productive farming land to go into that area. And when Judy and I went and spoke to the planner, we were told all this land is already fragmented.
It's not all fragmented. I was looking at it.
Now can we look at a bit more? You said that there were a few of you who were active making submissions, you're monitoring what's going on, and then you decide to get involved. So, how does this work? Are there, you just normally in contact with each other socially?
No, we all did it individually.
Right, so there was no communal efforts?
Not on the one plan, no. I mean, we all, once we know who each other is, we get to know who we are. But by that point, we've already put in our submissions. So, you only know who else has put in submissions when they all get published.
But you've gone through a series of these things. Isn't there a community that are the people who put in submissions on the thing 5 years ago might act? No? There's nothing organised in that way. It's all totally...
It hasn't happened for soils. Where it did happen was to do with wind farming, and that did become, but that was for a different issue than protection of productive soils.
There was one time when people did get together, and that was when the city wanted to expand its boundary out to Kairanga Bunnythorpe Road, the last boundary change. And there was a lot of collusion. We all got together.
Yes.
We even went door to people getting signatures and things.
So have you found then at each of these different things that you got involved with, it was a different group of people that you found had made submissions? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You'd find then an issue comes up, certain individuals decide to get active about it, it matters enough to them, and then another issue, and it's a different group of individuals.
I would think so, except on this new Whiskey Creek one, I noticed that I've read in the paper some of the people have speaking out from Meadowbrook Drive against it. And I noticed that one person has already put submissions in before. So I've gone back to the first one there, and there's his submission, and we might collude. You are always asked when you put a submission in if others have a similar one to yours, are you willing to... join forces, basically, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Put in a joint one, and I always tick yes.
So in a way, then, you've got these large councils, other organisations wanting to bring in changes, and then it's almost the lone wolf campaigner trying to say, hey, stop and think about this. Is that what you've found?
I suppose that's what it is. Yes. Yeah. It's meant to be democracy, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you find that frustrating that there isn't?
Because if all the territorial authorities looked at their plans and to the letter implemented everything according to that, we wouldn't have to have this.
Wouldn't we? But why is it that so few people are challenging them then?
A lot of people complain but don't actually do a submission. Perhaps they're not familiar with the system.
There's a skill set needed, is there?
I mean, I only found out about Whiskey Creek development because I read it in the paper. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes there is a public notification of something. But I think on the whole, the number that are publicly notified of changes are less.
Okay. So what then about councillors? If councillors are supposed to be representing the public and they're not speaking out on
it? I don't know what to say about councillors.
Well, you have a local councillor who should be...
We have a local council and councillors, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I have, on another occasion, when somebody got resource consent to put an industrial thing in a rural zone in our district, I sent a letter to every councillor. The person got consent to do what he wanted to do, and the councillors were not happy, but the planners signed things off, I suppose. I don't know what happened.
Also quite good at what's called retrospective consents. So yeah. Someone will break the supposed rules with or without council sort of support. It's brought to their attention. I think it would be almost very unlikely that a person would ever be told you've got to undo what you've done. So that happened opposite the Kairanga school. It went against everything to do with the then Manawatū district plan. And they haven't complied even with the consent they got. But the council.
So monitoring and enforcement is very weak, you're saying?
Extraordinarily, yes. I'd say.
Yeah.
Always take the line of least resistance, and usually the argument is, oh, it has an economic benefit. So tough.
So. Okay, but your area, Alison's a bit different. Judy, you're concerned about soils, and you mentioned wind farms.
Yes, where Judy's passion is soils, and I have complete sympathy with that, but my action has been based on landscape, visual landscape. And therefore, for this area, wind farms have been, in my opinion, the problem to do with our visual landscape.
Yeah, you think they're unsightly compared to the...
Well, I suppose in short, the way I look at it is this. The Tararuas are our visual main physical feature. It's free for all to look at and appreciate, and it has characteristics that are very pleasing, and it may not be the remarkables, but it's all we've got. And therefore, to have wind turbines willy-nilly, all different patterns, designs, etc., from Whareti to the southernmost boundary, or southwestmost boundary, basically industrialises that whole landscape. And
And are you a lone wolf in fighting this?
No, what? I should say I'm passionate about that from childhood, because on the flat farm, and in those days everything virtually treeless, we would look at those hills, and it gave you huge emotional, and because of their beauty and their changing beauty. And as a child riding my tricycle from home to school, I was pedalling in a straight line but looking to the left because that was the Tararua Range.
That's what you look at. Yes.
So what is the, and you say that the what's the aesthetic appeal for you of the range? How would you describe it?
Well, I see it as a natural physical feature. The argument, of course, is it's, oh, but it's been modified, therefore to modify it a bit more with turbines means we're modifying something already modified, already lost its value as natural, blah, blah, blah.
So if someone was recording people in 50 years' time, they'll say, and I have this image in my mind of cycling to school and seeing the windmills on the ranges, and it was very satisfying, and now that's all gone because of this nuclear reactor.
They may well do, because they have known nothing else.
Yes, yeah.
That's the point, isn't it? I mean, they saved Central Otago from that huge wind farm development because it's seen virtually as internationally significant. And of course, I support that fight 100%. But if this is all we've got, you want a little bit to be without turbines. So,
but do the two of you feel you both keenly concerned about various issues? Do you feel you're tilting
at windmills? She is. Ali's tilting at windmills, definitely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But the other way I look at it is, if you don't try, you cannot say, because you've got to do your best, and if you lose, well, you lost.
Yeah. But interestingly, though, both of you, your idea of how to operate in this political environment is the way that the system is intended, I suppose, in making submissions and so on, rather than having banners and demonstrating in the streets.
And go,
you've done that as well.
I've done that too. Yeah? I've never held a banner, but I have walked.
Yeah,
the streets.
Yeah, doing what? Yeah,
not in Palmerston North. No.
No. So, okay, we're just about at time, but very briefly, now you've given us that teaser.
We have spoken to on the euthanasia bill, both of us in Parliament.
Yes.
We didn't. That was not marching. I've marched in the Farmers' March in Wellington.
March?
Yes, years ago. I've forgotten when that was. It was years ago.
And that was about
the
what?
Tax
way back in the 80s, probably.
Oh, you mean about removing the subsidies?
Yes, that was huge.
And that didn't achieve anything either.
Made us feel great.
Okay, so.
But, you know, and Manapouri was another thing. Pretty young, but
we didn't march, but we signed the petition over there. Jeez.
And talked about it. And my friends say, I never thought I was a real protester, but my friends say, but Ali, you've always had an issue that you felt passionate
about. Well, the word the trees down Fitzherbert Avenue, apparently.
Yes, I've done that one.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.